you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
You're listening to NBC Sports Philadelphia. The guests you want to hear from, the Phillies information you need. It's At the Yard with Jim Salisbury.
He was an all-star, a gold glover, and a World Series champion as a player. He has coached and managed the Phillies. Now in his 53rd year of pro baseball, Larry Bowa moves to the front office. Welcome back to At the Yard, presented by Deborah Heart and Lung Center. If it's your heart, demand Deborah. www.demanddeborah.org. And please subscribe to At the Yard wherever you listen to podcasts. Now to my conversation with Phillies legend, Larry Bowa. Larry, one of the most interesting things that, you know, I want to see this season, for the last 17 years, shortstop has been manned by Jimmy Rollins and Freddie Galvis. This is a big stretch of time. And one of the, you know, they're moving in a rookie this year, J.P. Crawford. No one knows that position better than you. No one knows Phillies infield history better than you. No one knows infield play better than you. Tell me, is J.P. Crawford ready? I mean, what do you think we're going to see in this transition?
Yeah, I think he's ready to play up here, but I think it's unfair to put him up against Jimmy and Freddie as far as the defensive ability. J.P. is going to catch everything. I think he's going to be fine as a big league shortstop. But the two guys we mentioned before are elite as far as defense goes. They could go right, they could go left. They had a great backhand. They had good arm strength, quick feet. The thing that concerns me a little bit about JP is, and it's not drastic, I think in the way sabermetrics are today, they like the way he approaches his at-bats. They like him to see a lot of pitches. Personally, I would like to see him a little bit more aggressive because I think he'd be able to hit for a better average, but that's his style of hitting, and obviously it plays into the way the game is played now. So he's going to get his walks. But I think he's going to be fine there. But again, I think it's unfair to try to compare him to Freddie and Jimmy Rollins.
Yeah, those are two exceptional.
Exceptional.
Freddie was a regular for 3 years. 1 year he was at second base. And it seemed like his era came and went really quickly. His time in Philly ended very quietly in December. But, you know, I think we should appreciate how good a defender that kid was.
Oh, I got a warm spot in my heart for him. I mean, we've texted a lot. I think what happens is you take things for granted when you watch him play, just like Jimmy. Balls, but you look, base hit up the middle. Oh, what a play. Or base hit in the hole. What a play. The thing that went against Freddie, and again, it's the way the baseball is being played now, is his on-base percentage. He didn't get a lot of walks. But on the other hand, he hit some home runs and he drove in runs. So it's a matter of what the front office wants to see. And obviously, him being a free agent coming up,
right. That
came into play. I guess they felt that they couldn't sign him long-term. So they moved him. And the arm, I did see the arm that we got for him. He's got a very good arm. I don't know how quick he's going to move through the organization. But you're right. It sort of came and went real quick. And I think people are going to realize they had something special here, especially defensively.
You've worked a lot with Crawford in previous spring trainings, this spring training. It's not, I mean, he should be a good major league player.
No question. He's going to be a good major league player. He's really, in the 2 years that since he's come to the big camp, his backhand has improved tremendously. He's worked at it. I think the one thing that people, when you play short, you think a guy can run and everything. His speed is probably average, maybe a step below. But he gets a good first step on the ball. He's able to read hops. He's smart as far as, hey, this guy can run, I'm going to move up a little bit. This guy can't run, I'm going to move back a little bit. So I don't think there's going to be a problem at all, except you're going to see a difference in the great plays that those other two guys made.
And he's going to improve the team's on-base percentages.
No question.
Lifetime minor league on-base percentages close to .370. They're going to have a full season of Hoskins. They've put a very good hitter, an on-base percentage, a producer at first base in Santana. You know, another position we're seeing transition at is catcher. And, you know, as bench coach and now in your role as a front office advisor, you've seen a lot of Jorge Alfaro. He is going to be, it looks like, get maybe the bulk of the time, at least starting off. He's in better shape. He's down about 12 pounds. I think he's moving better.
No question.
What are your impressions of him? You know, from two Septembers ago, when I saw balls go through his legs on the fly, to now, he seems to have improved.
No question. Defensively, I think he's made great strides. I watched him last September, and I questioned some of the times balls were getting by him. And I know the object, they're big on framing pitches, and sometimes the catcher wants to snatch it if it's close, and it ends up going off the tip of their glove. He's improved tremendously there. He's got a tremendous arm. His arm strength's off the chart. I think the one area where I think he's got to improve, Jim, is his ability to recognize strikes when he's hitting offensively. He's got tremendous power the other way. He runs exceptionally well. I like to see him hit more strikes in the zone. But defensively, from September till now, to me, he's improved a lot.
Yeah, he certainly – it almost jumps out at you because I watch the pitch, and then there's that little delay on TV, so I see it from the center field angle 2 seconds later. And he does look – he's not –
more comfortable.
He's not – he's still – with his target, it just everything looks a little bit better. So, you know, when a baseball team, there's that old adage about building up the middle. So Alfaro's moving in, JP is moving in at shortstop. This team has a I'd say a gifted center fielder in Odubel Herrera. He still has some lapses now and then, but he's a heck of a talent.
Right.
And you have a very good player in Cesar at second base. It's a situation almost analogous to Crawford and Freddie, where Scott Kingery is kind of bearing down at second base. Cesar could be in transition. We don't know. But your impressions of Cesar, he's improved greatly.
Oh, he's really matured a lot. He used to play, didn't have a lot of confidence. But again, I revert back. Freddie comes into play here. Freddie's helped him out a lot. He was almost like a security blanket out there for Cesar. He would constantly remind him, and I think over the repetitions that Freddie would keep telling Cesar, I think Cesar's finally gotten it. But you're right, Kingery's bearing down on all of them. This guy's he's a special athlete. I think he's the best prospect we have in the entire organization. I really think this kid is a – I don't like the label can't miss. If he stays healthy, he's a can't miss. He does everything. He's a baseball player. He thinks. He reacts very well. He makes a double play as good as anybody I've ever seen. He's very good at the plate. Plate discipline's good. It's just a matter of time for him. And obviously because of contract situations, it sounds, again, I don't know, but it sounds like he'll probably start off down there until he gets that extra year of free agency under their belt, the front office, and then I think you're going to see this kid up here, and then there's going to be a situation where it's a good situation for the front office. It's not a good situation for the manager because guy's going to have to play. You can't bring a guy like Kingery up and sit him on the bench. So they're going to have to rotate, and that's going to be something that they're going to have to figure out because they're all talented guys, and most guys want to play every day. I don't know the mentality of some of them as far as playing every day. I know when I played, I didn't want no rest, and – so it's going to be interesting how they handle that.
Nobody grows up dreaming of being an extra man.
No, and he's not an extra man.
No, he is fun to watch.
None of those guys really are.
Hits the ball hard. He's strong. Generates a good bit of, I guess you'd call it, power from his legs. And I mean, he could play a little third. I think, mid-season, that could put some heat on Michael Franco. Just another reason for him to get going. But Kingery, and I think he plays a Philly brand of ball, which – in your mind, what is the Philly brand of ball?
Play hard. Yeah. Play 27 outs every night. You know, I don't care if the score is 8-1 you're winning or 8-1 you're losing. Play the game and respect the game like it's your last game. And he does that. He goes out there every day and he grinds it out. And you brought up Mikey Franco. To me, he's the key guy in our lineup. Him and the pitcher is Velasquez for me. Those two guys have got to step it up. It's time. And if they do what we think or we think they're capable of doing, this could be an exciting team to watch. I think we're going to score runs. I think we're a much better team. Obviously, you saw it. The second half, we played very competitive baseball. We were 500. And I really believe this team, if they don't play 500, at least 500, I'd be very disappointed. I really think this team should play at least 500, not because of what we did last year, but because if you look at our division, there's really one strong team, Washington.
Right.
They're top to bottom. They're a good team. All those other teams, hey, you can throw a blanket over them as far as I'm concerned. And I think the Phillies, with the youth that they brought up and the energy that they played with the second half, they should be able to do that this year.
Have you seen some adjustments as far as – is Michael Franco making some sound adjustments in your mind this spring?
Well, he's hit some balls to right center, which is a step in the right direction. You know, last spring everything was pull, pull, pull. He still – to me it's not his ability. It's his mental capacity to concentrate. For some reason, the concentration level isn't the same every day. And once he understands – that this game is tough and you got to concentrate every at bat, every inning, every pitch. If he gets that down, he's going to be very exciting to watch. But again, he's not there yet. And hopefully he's going to get there.
Yeah, he's got a lot of talent, hits the ball hard.
Yeah, he does.
He's got a rocket arm. He's got a lot of strengths. And I think that's kind of in the back of the front office's mind that, you know, they're probably walking this tightrope. Is he our guy of the future or is he not? And it's like, you don't want to give up too soon because he could explode and be a heck of a player someday.
No question. If you take a look, you know, everyone's talking about, well, he didn't have a very good year last year, and the year before he was so-so, but he led the team in home runs both years. So even though it was a bad year as far as Mikey's concerned or maybe Philly fans are concerned, he did lead this team in home runs.
Yep.
And if he could put everything together, again, it's concentration. If he can do that, he could put up some big numbers, especially in our ballpark.
One of the big bright spots last year for me, maybe the number one bright spot, was Aaron Nola. And not just that he had that kind of two-month stretch where he was among the best pitchers in baseball. To me, it was even more big picture than that. His elbow came back healthy. You know, we weren't writing stories. I wasn't writing stories about him needing surgery or something crazy like that. His health, a heck of a plus for this team. And then, you know, he really seemed to take a step forward on the mound. He's a nice building block to have in a rotation.
Oh, Jim, he keeps you in baseball games. Very seldom do you see him get lit up in two or three innings. He doesn't really light up the radar gun. He knows how to pitch. He changes speeds. He's come up with a very good changeup. His breaking ball's always been there. He spots his fastball. He's a tough at bat. If you're facing him, it's going to be a tough at bat. And I would think a lot of teams are going to load up left-handed hitters against this guy because he's not fun to hit from the right side. But mentally, I think he's accepted that he's the leader of that pitching staff right now, and he's getting the opening day assignment as we speak. So I think he's taking that responsibility. I think he likes that responsibility. And, you know, he pitched in some big situations with LSU. That's a big-time baseball school. So this, I'm not saying it's the same as the big leagues, but it's not like, oh, how's he going to accept being the opening day pitcher? He was that ace at LSU, and they faced aces every weekend when they played. So the mental part of the game, he's perfect for pitching out there. He doesn't get riled up. You wouldn't know if he's winning 5-0 or losing 5-0. His demeanor is the same every single game.
Yeah, he does have an excellent temperament. You mentioned Vinny Velasquez, power arm. There's another power arm in Pivetta. I mean, you know, you're talking great stuff on both of those guys. And, boy, he made 25 starts last year. I think that experience is going to be invaluable for him this season. You know, regardless of where he opens, he projects as a major league pitcher and maybe someday a quality major league pitcher. What did you see from him last year?
I like him. I like Pivetta a lot. I think that mentally he's a tough kid. He shows some immaturity at times because he's a young kid. But stuff-wise, him and Velasquez both have big league stuff. Now, can they harness that big league stuff and be able to throw secondary pitches over for strikes anytime they want? Where they get in trouble, both of them, they're almost clones, is they try to be too fine with the stuff they have instead of challenging right away, and they don't give themselves enough credit for throwing 95, 96. So they nibble, 2-0, 3-1, these guys up here don't miss 2-0, 3-1 fastballs, and they get into hitters' counts. If when they start to learn how to pitch ahead in the count and take a first pitch ground ball out, you know, when you're young like that and you have a power arm, you get caught up in, oh, I struck out 8 guys or I struck out 9 guys. I still say to this day, the worst thing to happen to Vinny was he struck out 16 complete game against the Padres on his first start, and he's trying to live up to that. What's wrong with a good four-seamer, two-seamer, down in the zone, ground ball is short, one pitch, one out? And once again, pitchers seem to mature a little bit later, but Pivetta really excites me because he competes. I mean, he competes big time, and sometimes it's to his disadvantage. He gets too keyed up out there. He's got to learn how to slow it down a little bit. It's not when you get in a jam harder. It's make a pitch here, a secondary pitch there, and then eventually you get the strikeout when you need it. But he's a young kid. He's got a great arm. Both these guys, if you look at how they project in a rotation, they're near the top of the rotation stuff-wise, but they're not there as far as command yet.
The Phillies last year won 66 games. They actually won 5 fewer than the year before. Yet, I believe they took a step forward because they finished 38-38. A whole bunch of new players, including Hoskins, came from the minor leagues, and they were competitive over the last 75 games all the time. You, Pete McCann, you guys were on that staff. I mean, you have to be proud of that.
Pete did a great job because, you know, when you have a team that's out of it by the break, you know, I mean, let's be honest. People are human beings, and they come to the park, and they know they got no chance for the playoffs. They're striving to get better. But Pete kept it together, and they did. They played very competitive. And the thing that was amazing about that is we played mostly our division at the end. So we played 500 in our division, which I think is important. You got to play at least 500 in your division. You can't keep letting one team beat you up. And we played Washington really tough last year. So, I mean, like you said, we didn't win as many games, but the second half projected to be what we thought it was going to be. Early in the year, we didn't have a very good offense. I'll be honest with you. We weren't very good. And we had a bad month of May. And, you know, to regroup like that, and it's a tribute to the players. They stuck to it. Tribute to Pete. And we got new life when you got Williams, Alfaro, Hoskins. They all got called up. JP. They brought a lot of different type energy to the ballpark. And you're going to see that hopefully this year at the beginning of the year. All those guys are going to probably be in the lineup. And hopefully that'll be a carryover.
Pete did a very good job with those young guys, and I thought it was really neat the last day of the season when he took out the lineup card. Everybody in every fan in that building at Citizens Bank Park stood up, gave him a standing ovation.
I told him, I said, I never seen a manager get a standing ovation for coming in last place. That might be a first. And he says, yeah, I didn't think of it that way, but that was a great gesture by the fans. The players acknowledged it. They all came out and clapped for him. Pete's a good guy, and they kept him in the organization. Talking with him a couple days ago, he's scouting out there, and then he's going to be, you know, he gets paid as a manager this year, then he's got 2 years of scouting, so he likes what he's doing. Obviously, he'd like to be still on the field because, you know, he says, I would have liked to have seen this thing through, because you saw the things at the end. You saw how things, they matured as players. You saw him start winning baseball games, and he sort of felt like it was unfinished business for him. But again, you know, the front office people make decisions, and they felt at that time, this is the way we want to go, and hopefully it was the right decision, and hopefully they win some ball games, because I would be very disappointed if they don't play at least 500.
And I know you think things are trending in the right direction, and if it gets to where they want to go, and that's a championship,
right?
What everybody wants, then Pete's good, and you all going to have a hand in it,
right?
You know, much like I go back to 2008. Ed Wade had a hand in building that.
Yes, he did.
Foundation of that team was put together on his watch.
Right.
Much like the Houston Astros World Championship team. That's what's, you know, interesting about baseball. There's a lot of hands in different things, getting teams to where they need to go.
That's a good point because, you know, when I got let go here in Philly, you know, obviously it was a disappointment, but I look back, and when I took over that team, it was a bad team. They lost close to 100. They might have lost 100. But then we played 500, and I felt like that was the start of a stepping stone for what happened there. And at the time, you don't think of that. But as you look back, you say, you know what? Those were good times when we turned it around. We got to 500. We were right to the end. For the 1 year, we were in a playoff hunt. And then eventually, they added pieces, and Eddie, to his credit, got some players. Charlie did a great job with the ball club. You saw what happened there, and hopefully this trend can continue. went through some tough seasons, and hopefully the trend is upward now.
You mentioned, I mean, this is your 53rd year in pro ball, your 34th with the Phillies. You've been a player, Gold Glove shortstop, All-Star, World Champion. You've been a coach. You've been a manager. You've been a coach. And now you are a front office advisor. What is this transition like? Are you good with it?
Yeah, I'm used to it. At first, it was a little strange, you know, when I first came. But now, you know, getting acclimated at what they want me to do. You know, I want to go down and look at the kids play. And from what I understand, we picked third, I think, in the draft. If there's interest in getting an infielder, they want me to go look at the infielder at a college or a high school, wherever they're going to draft in the order. So it's going to be different. I'm going to have more free time, obviously, and not have to travel as much when you're put on the uniform. But there's things about it you miss. I miss the fact that you got a chance to win a baseball game, you know, and you're part of it. Whether you're a coach, whether you're a bullpen guy, whatever you are, the competitiveness, I'm used to that every day. And so right now, I'm not saying I don't care if we win or lose, but I'm not going to beat myself up if the Phillies lose 5 games in a row, as opposed to if I was in uniform, I'd be killing myself.
Right.
So, I mean, that part of it, I think I'm going to miss a lot, because I like competing. I like the idea that, hey, we beat this team today, and we came up short one day, but we're going to fix it. And, you know, that part of it I'm going to miss.
But you're still out there throwing BP every day.
Yeah, I like that.
Amazing. Great, great shape. You're out there around the batting cage with Charlie Manuel. He's awesome to talk to.
Yeah, he's funny. He's funny. And we in the morning, we walk a lot and talk baseball. You know, the game is different now. And if you're not willing to go with the different trends, then you're going to have to get out. But there's some things that I like about it, and Charlie and I talk about that. And there's also some things that I don't really agree with. But, again, that's a different story.
It's also, though, the same game. It's still catching
it
the
is.
Ball,
it's 27 outs, nine innings. You got to compete. You got to grind it out. You got to do little things to win a game. I don't care what the sabermetrics say. You got to move runners. You got to go first to third. You got to get good secondary leads. All that stuff, it helps you win baseball
games.
Get a
big hit with runners on base.
Exactly.
Go 1-for-4, but just make sure that one comes with runners on second and third.
Reese Hoskins, he loves to hit with men on base,
yeah.
Which is a big, big plus. A lot of guys don't like hitting with men on base, and to me, that's something to look forward to this year when you see him coming to the plate.
That 3-week stretch he had last year.
Incredible.
You almost expected him to hit the ball out every time up.
Well, and to consider the start he had, what was he, 0 for?
0 for 13 or 11?
No, it was higher than that, I think.
Yeah.
I want to say it was 18. It was high.
Yeah.
And then for him to get, he got a little bloop hit. I remember that.
Yep.
His first hit.
At home.
Yeah. And then he went off.
He went out in San Diego, hit one in the seats.
To see that, I mean, I played with Schmitty, and I've seen Schmitty hot. But that stretch that he went through, I don't think I've seen too many guys do that.
Wow. Well, you know what? Something folks don't know about you, but I know you're a great college basketball fan. So who's your teams this year?
Okay, I'm going to tell you who I want to win, because I love Jay Wright. I want Villanova to win, but I Virginia is the team right now. I watch that defense; they're incredible.
Really?
I mean, they play both ends. I think they're going to be tough to beat. But I like to see Villanova do it again. I just don't know depth wise if they can do it, but. Virginia caught my attention big time.
All right, you heard it there. He's I think you're a former. Were you a Nova?
Ticket holder? Yeah, I used to go to all the games.
Yeah, big Nova fan. He likes Nova. Watch out for Virginia. Larry, thanks for being with me.
All right, Jim.
Take care.
I hope you enjoyed my chat with Larry Bowa as much as I did. I'm Jim Salisbury. Thank you for listening. We'll catch you next time at the Yard.
Thanks for listening to the At the Yard with Jim Salisbury podcast on NBC Sports Philadelphia. Be sure to subscribe to At the Yard wherever you listen to podcasts.